This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
But I'll probably hate it.
All right, final hour here at 5:03 in the evening. Felger and Mass. Agenda Free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. Everything on the table from the week. Anything we've gotten to or have yet to get to, it is up to you. We just follow your lead on the phones. We're mostly Patriots and Red Sox right now, but we did some Bruins earlier in the program. A little Celtics thought here and there. So wherever you want to go, it's up to you. We'll go back to the phones now unless someone here on the panel has a leadoff thought for this hour.
God, no.
No.
Okay. Then we're just going to hear from you people. So it better be good. Don't suck. Bill in Connecticut. What do you got, Bill, on the Red Sox?
Yo. It's why did you put Sales in the bullpen? You're trying to build his arm up. So let him pitch one or two innings, and then when he's in the World Series, he can pitch a whole game.
Okay, Bill. I'm not exactly sure that's how you do it. But is Chris Sale at all a consideration for you for the bullpen?
No. I mean, unless like there's no other choice at the end. No, Sale starts.
Does he go tomorrow or Sunday?
He is pitching, I believe, Saturday or Sunday.
Okay,
Sunday.
And what is your expectation? What is your need there? What do you need to see from him on Sunday?
Better command and control is the big one for me.
It's not pitch count.
Well, I mean, a little bit, but honestly, I think they sort of go hand in hand. Like, I think as long as he is executing and putting the ball where it's supposed to go, I would also look at the break on his slider. Like, to me, the command of the stuff and the secondary stuff has to be better than it was in that game the other night.
We got Ron in Worcester with the Patriots thought. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike?
Good.
Long time. Normally I call about hockey, but I've had to listen to you and Maz all winter and most of the summer talking about Garoppolo. I don't understand your obsession with this guy. As a matter of fact, you activate my gag reflex sometimes. The thing that I'm trying to figure out is, number one, how many games has this guy won in the NFL?
Seven.
Matt Castle has won more games in the NFL than Garoppolo did. You talked about he was the future of the Patriots, which basically, I know you're not Nostradamus. You're on point on a lot of things, but the guy is not proven.
Ron, can I stop you? Because we've been over this a million times. Personally, yes, I think he can play. I think he'll be good. But take me out of it. Take Maz out of it. The whole issue here is that Belichick thought he was the guy. So all your second guessing reserved for Belichick, because that's who I'm taking my cues from on this.
All right. And the thing is the other thing that, in other words, we're talking about a very small sample size here, which is a phrase that you guys use
but,
quite regularly.
And again, Ron, I'm sorry.
Bill liked him.
But just to interrupt, Bill's not going on a small sample size. Bill was with him for four straight years on the practice field, in the meeting rooms, face-to-face, hand-to-hand combat for four straight years. Bill is not going off of the 2.5 regular season games, or 1.5, whatever it was, that he played for you a couple of years ago. He had much more knowledge of it.
All right, your thought. You don't think this guy plays a little bit soft? I remember the game he opted out when he had this little dinky injury.
Big concern.
He's going to get killed. He's going to get killed out there in San Francisco. That's nowhere near as talented a team as the Patriots are.
Absolutely, Ron. I agree with that 100%. That would be my number one issue for Garoppolo. Durability, toughness. You know, he definitely did not stand in there in Minnesota.
He was bad.
He was shying away from contact. That is my number one issue with that player. Toughness, durability, being able to take a hit, learning how to take a hit, learning how to stand in there, all of that, absolutely right, number one on the list.
And look, in the Minnesota game, and I know you've touched on this, he was careless with the ball. I mean, he threw three picks.
And he's loose with the ball, another one, for
I mean,
sure.
So, you know, and one of them was a pick six, and that was the one where the pressure was in his face, and he turned away from it. I told you, he looked like Tony Eason.
Too pretty.
It is astonishing to me how people keep going to the back to that. Yeah, how many games has he won? None of that matters. Belichick wanted him. Belichick wanted him, and he couldn't keep him. So that was a big deal. Like, the fact that people dismiss that to me is like, that's a major issue.
Thomas in Everett on the Sox. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Going back to the wins, okay? I get the Red Sox, their bullpen's been pretty horrible going for the last, 20 games? But their starters have looked good. I mean, it's baseball. They make errors. It's the game. I mean, a win's a win. I mean, you go back to Little League, you go back to Babe Ruth, you go back to all these little things. A win's always going to be a win, and in the record book, they're always going to look back and say, that's a fake win.
Not true. We are. And in our record book, they're 99-46-2.
Yeah. Well, and this is also part of the petition that we are striving to change the standings like they do in the NHL, so that when you have W, L, and then FW, like they do in hockey, yeah. They have the ROW for regulation and overtime wins.
FW.
Right. We want the FW, which is why, Murray, what do you have there?
99-46-2.
99-46-2. So technically that last column is like worth 1 point.
Yeah. Well, they should go to a point system.
Yeah.
And once they're on the whiteboard, I'm sorry, caller, they're real. It's you can't take them away.
Right.
Otherwise, you'd want me to put 101 wins on here, and then I'd have to add something. Something that used to be on the back of Roger Maris baseball cards. What was that when they talked about 61 season? What was that thing? Oh, right, an asterisk. So, you either want the asterisk back, and I know how upset that makes people, and I already removed that, but don't make me return it. So instead we have the fake wins. Fake wins have these asterisks, but they don't really count. Those are just for the wins.
Yeah, just dressing.
It's just a little appetizer, isn't it? 99-46-2. You can't get mad. Once it's on the whiteboard, it's real.
So they got 3 weeks left. My goal is for us to end with officially 5 asterisks at the end of the year. That's my goal.
By going back, or you mean the more fake wins going forward?
I'm good either way, actually.
However we get there?
If they get 3 more the rest of the way, I will withdraw my petition on that Yankee game.
Mike in San Jose. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. If you look at Brady's posture before the Super Bowl, everything's great. Everything's working. We're having success. But after the Super Bowl, they redid that last episode, and now everything's a hurdle. Everything's outside pressure. Everything's drama inside. And I just feel like he flipped the script. But I mean, it's all kind of almost fake, because if they win the Super Bowl again, he's going to flip it again, and everything's success, and everything's great, and go buy this, and listen to this. And
it's not fake, but it does accentuate that winning covers everything up. You know, Chris's great line, that winning's a great deodorant. If they win the Super Bowl and Brady carries on like this, it doesn't have quite the... I don't know if he can do it without looking like a bad loser or something, like an ingrate. I don't know. Would you carry on like this and you've won? And everything Bill's done has worked, you know, in quotes. But when you lose, the door's ajar a little bit.
And oh, so, absolutely.
I think that's what that game did for
particularly them. Particularly when Belichick made the coaching decision he did to really open the door. Now all of a sudden they can jump on him, right? If Brady had blown the game, maybe he doesn't jump on Bill that way. And, you know, he'd fumble at the end. But it wasn't nearly as big as the Butler thing. Overall, he played a great game. Oh, the door totally ajar by the loss.
Tom and Quincy on the Sox. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What do you got?
Hey, did that caller two calls ago say that the bullpen has sucked for 20 games? They've sucked all year. So, Tony, like, you follow baseball, you follow the team, you wrote for the team. Do you ever remember a team this good, like World Series bound, everyone thinks that, with a deficiency as bad as the suck bag of relief pitches that they have? Like, it is, all those guys are the same exact person. They get up there, put guys on, suck. Hembry sucks, Kelly sucks, even Kimbrel sucks to a point. It's like, what do you do? And now they want Stephen Wright? For the love of God. Like, you're going to put Stephen Wright in the eighth inning? Like, dude, are you trying to make me have a seizure? Because honest to God, I'm going to stroke out if I have to watch the playoffs. And Stephen effing Wright is in to, like, hold a lead. I'm going to puke.
Tom, that was an outstanding phone call.
That was a great Red Sox call.
We have had, in the last 3 days, three great calls in the 5 o'clock hour. Oh, my God, we should venture to stack them together.
I'm going to have a seizure.
The amazing thing is, he's right.
On every point.
He's right. So now, look, like, I can't ever remember a team that has won this many games that had this kind of deficiency. I can't.
No, well, 03, you would say, except they had sort of gotten it together by the very end. Not that Grady Little caught on, but it was Williamson, and then, was it Bun Young Kim? Was that year?
Yeah, they traded for him that year, yeah. Like, oh, my God, they traded for a million relievers that year.
Oh, so, well, isn't that interesting? Boy, you have a big hole in the bullpen, and you try and fix it. That's interesting.
Yeah, they did. They traded for a ton of guys, and it was, and again, I said this many wins, right? They're going to win 107 games. I think that team won 95 that year, and they had bullpen problems all year long, which actually I think in a lot of ways were worse. But they traded for, if I remember right, Alan Embry that year, Byung-Hyun Kim that year, Scott Williamson that year. Like, Theo literally tried to pick up any reliever that wasn't nailed to the floor and went out and got him. And then it started to work in the LCS. Because remember, Derek Lowe had to come out of the rotation to close Game 5 in Oakland because the bullpen was such a train wreck. Then they get to the Yankees, and all of a sudden it started to work, and Grady decided not to use it. Like, of all things, they put in all that effort, it finally comes together, and then the manager doesn't go to the bullpen, which is why I worry about Cora. Like, it's
psychologically damaged.
Is he so traumatized that he's going to get to a big game in the LCS in Houston and then go, Barnes has pitched well in the series and go, I can't bring Barnes into this game, or I can't bring Kelly into this game, and he leaves Price on the mound too long, or something like that. Scares the hell out of me.
Real quick, we haven't spent any time on it because we typically don't. We stay in the toy department here on Felger and Maz and don't get into the real world stuff. But obviously, there's some real world issues up there in the Merrimack Valley and Lowell and Lawrence and Andover and everything that went on yesterday. Quite a situation up there. Talk about a precursor of the apocalypse.
Scary.
Right? And scary for all those families who've been displaced and all those people who were affected up there. So we've got this for you. Please keep those that have been displaced by the Merrimack Valley gas explosions in mind. You can help with a financial donation by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS or texting Red Cross to 90999 to make a $10 donation instantly. Again, text Red Cross. So I guess you just spell that out, Red Cross to 90999, and that'll just give you a $10 donation instantly. You can also call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make a donation to those folks displaced up there in the Merrimack Valley. We're back with more right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He good now. We ain't gonna get it twisted. He's good, but you saying this to me, is it supposed to like bring fear to me or something?
No.
All right, then. I don't fear no man, period. So he going to have to come out there and line up for me, or however it goes.
We know when the game starts.
This is Bill, like, sort of acknowledging the trash talk a little bit, makes it less fake, Gasper. Bill actually played into it just a little bit. Just a little bit. I wonder. To me, a big question is how the Pats handle this game. A lot of times in September, they're just sort of feeling things out, right? Pacing themselves. Extension of training camps, the cliche, which is true. And they usually have a hiccup or two in the first half of the season that when you get to the end of the year, you go back and you chalk it up to just sort of that process, that feeling out process, that pacing process that they're so good at. And so ordinarily, that's what this week would be. But does Jacksonville has their attention, and are they going to put a little more emphasis on it? And can they afford to get off to a slow start like they have in the past, given some of the issues internally? I wonder about that, too. Does Bill recognize that it's a little funkier here than it's been, a little jankier than it's been in the past? So, you know, I'm coming off a Super Bowl where I didn't make such a great decision. I don't know how people view that, and me and Brady, and da-da-da. And so let's just get back to winning, and that really, you want to talk about quieting the noise. It's not just playing, it's winning. And that's the deodorant, and that shuts everything up. And so does Bill put a little more emphasis into this game than he normally would? That's what I'm fascinated to see. So it could be a good one, which, as I said before, you don't get many great Patriots games in the regular season. You don't. Most of them are blowouts. This has a chance to be something else. So we'll see what happens. It's Sunday here, 4:25 on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Tim and Bill Ricca, thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I think that game is going to be a slugfest. I think that game is going to be defensively hard-fought. It's going to be low-scoring. And I'm hoping it's the making of a new rival for the Patriots, because they don't have a whole lot of competition in the division, obviously. And I'd like to see them have like that. I miss the old Brady Manning thing where every year you mark it on your calendar and like you got to see that game, whether it's nationally televised or not. I miss that. I miss the Patriots having a rival. And while Blake Bortles is no Peyton Manning, don't get me wrong, it would be nice to have a team that there is bad blood with, that you have that it factor behind the scenes where they just don't like each other and they get to go out in the field and beat the crap out of one another. And I got the Patriots 20-17. Wonder what you guys think.
Okay, babe. Well, pick it and stick it. But they are lacking that rival. Like, it's Pittsburgh, I guess.
I mean, that's the closest thing you got is Pittsburgh.
But the Manning years are done. Denver stepped in there for a little bit. They, you know, gone the other way, I think.
Yeah, it's Pittsburgh.
It's Pittsburgh. And it's like, that hasn't even been that. It was a good game last year, but the Pats win every time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There is sort of a void. I just don't know. Again, I don't know if Jacksonville. I just don't know if Jacksonville can fill it. I don't know.
I mean, they don't have the quarterback. That's for sure. Like, you know, unless somehow he develops into something that it doesn't look like he's ever going to be. But their defense is legit.
617-779-0985. Couple open lines. If you want to grab them, Jake and Andover. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, guys. So I want to mention the thing you guys were talking about earlier with Jimmy Garoppolo. So I know that guy called in. He's complaining about, oh, he has a small sample size, and that doesn't mean crap to you guys. But in all honesty, you look at it, he's started, what, I think 9 games in total, so like 2 or 3 for the Pats, 6 last year, and then his first game this year. So he hasn't even had a full official season under his belt.
Maz, go ahead, take this.
Chastising him.
Take this.
Jake, you understand that Belichick wanted to keep him and regarded him
as... No, I'm saying that. I'm saying that's a good thing, because even like last week, people saying, oh, he threw 3 picks. Again, his starting wide receiver is a wide receiver 3 on any team.
I see.
His starting running back tore his ACL. His defense, besides Richard Sherman, who else is really a stud on that team? And he's got a first 1.5 head coach starting in Shanahan. Yeah, he's great for the Falcons, but it's just still first year really rolling this thing. And, I mean, he played literally probably the best on-paper defense in the entire NFL with the Vikings.
So
let's all make excuses.
That's a small sample in favor of Garoppolo, Murray. Suck on that one a little bit, why don't you?
Same defense that was torched by one Nick Foles in the NFC Championship.
So you don't think Minnesota has a good defense?
No, it's a good defense, but, you know, Nick Foles caught fire there for a couple of weeks. Nick Foles, backup, who's turned back into Nick Foles. But, okay, you know, it's Nick Foles.
In Philly.
Still.
In Philly.
Jimmy Garoppolo. I thought he was the second coming. Indoor facility in Minnesota.
Tough place to play, Murray.
We'll see.
Again,
Bill believed in him. I understand that Bill believed in him. Bill has also drafted such quarterbacks as Ryan Mallett.
But again, Maz will tell you that if he were here, you can't judge what he's doing there in San Francisco in enough program yet, right? A building program versus here with Belichick.
But we can judge the games he started there last year was proof that he is the second coming, the great white whale, the next quarterback.
Well, it is almost a no-lose situation. I'll give you that. Because if he can elevate them, then you say, well, wow, look what he's done. And if he can't, you say this cast around him sucks. So I hear you on that one, Murray. But frankly, I don't feel much of a need to defend the guy. 7-1 is 7-1. He lost to a team that may very well be in the Super Bowl this year, will probably be in the NFC Championship game, I think, in the Vikings. I don't think there's any shame in that.
We've got Tony in Stoneham with a Red Sox thought. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I got the Red Sox. I got 3 things I want to say. The offense, the defense, and then, Mike, I got to call you out on something.
Okay.
And that'll be the last thing.
Okay.
Here's the problem with the Red Sox that could happen. It's going to be on offense. No team has scored as many runs as this team, and no team has had as many games where they scored 0, 1, 2, or 3 runs. If you stop the keys to that team, you're going nowhere. Now, hopefully, JBJ has raised his average 42 points. And if he continues, he could be a big asset. On the pitching, I asked Tony about this earlier. Who would you have traded for? He says anyone that could throw strikes. You got him. You got a guy like Workman. You got a guy like Kimbry. These guys can throw strikes. Kelly would not be on my playoff team. I put him on the bench somewhere.
Okay, third.
And the third thing on you, you cannot lower yourself to emulate somebody that introduces fake news. There's nothing fake about a way to win in baseball. Baseball is baseball. You win it with offense, defense, pitching, errors, breaks. Everything counts. You want to do this because we want to minimize that they won 100 games. That's crazy.
Oh, I think you can totally do it, frankly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, so, you know, you say you win with pitching, defense, base running, all that. I think sometimes you win because the other team sucks. That's what I think.
And when they suck so bad, it becomes a fake win.
Yeah.
When you play horribly and do everything you can to lose a game, like, I don't know, for example, last night, up a run, bases loaded. I'm sorry, bases empty, 2 outs. Go walk, hit batsman, and then you win because the other team drops a pop-up.
That's a fake win.
Fake win.
I agree. Totally fake.
Fake
100%
win.
Artificial.
Fake
That's
win.
A synthetic victory. 100% fake.
The only thing worse was that Marlins win. And I can't remember all the circumstances, but it was similar. It was like your bullpen came in and blowtorched the thing, gave up like a 4 or 5 run lead just in the bullpen. And then the Marlins did something just heinous in the field to hand you the game.
Yeah, they checked the shortstop, checked the ball into the, checked it to first. Remember?
I vaguely remember.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. It was complete ineptitude. No two ways about it. That win last night, that win had implants. Fake. Fake. And you can put the implants whenever you want, above or below. I don't care.
Big, right now on our board, 99-46-2. That means two giant fake wins. Mike and Marlboro on that topic. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I think you might have to change your opinion. If you remember the 100th win, while Price was lights out and pitched amazing, the only run they scored was on either a pass ball or wild
pitch. Good point.
You don't want to add that to a fit. See, that's, I mean, you actually played well there. It's not like you did anything to screw it up. So the fake win's really got to be twofold. You've got to play horribly, and the other team just has to give it to you by dropping a pop-up or throwing the ball in the crapper or chucking the ball down the left field line or any of the manner of things that have happened to the Red Sox this year. You actually, that Price game, you actually played a tight ball game.
Yeah.
So we're not going to take that one away.
You know what? Actually, I like this. Now that we're having the discussion, we should make like our own little rule, like for quality starts, 6 innings, 3 earned runs or less. So the fake win has to be that you have to blow a lead and then they have to give you a run back.
You have to play poorly, but they still have to give it to
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I like that.
They have to outsuck you.
Outsuck you.
Yeah,
you do everything you can to lose a game, but they still outsuck you.
You know what? That's such a great way to put it. Last night, they got outsucked.
First to 99. Congratulations, Red Sox fans.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Segment here of your wonderful phone calls, which haven't totally sucked today. They've actually been decent.
I'm telling you, the last 3 days in the 5 o'clock hour, we have had maybe the 3 best Red Sox calls we've had in 9 years. I'm not joking. Jimmy, we should seriously think about putting all 3 of those together.
It's been produced.
Like old school Fellowship of the Miserable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He sent Stephen right there in the 8th. I'm going to have a seizure.
I mean, it's about 3.5 minutes long. If we want to plan it out for the final word, we could do it.
Ooh. Oh, do you really? The 3 calls from this week?
Yeah.
Done.
I love it. I'm in.
So Done. We can do that in the Fuppets for the final word.
Excellent.
Love it. I'm in.
There's your final word.
Just a quick little update, too. Yeah. So this just posted on the New York Post, because the thing I opened up today on an agenda-free Friday, I was bitching about this ump, Tom Hallion,
yeah.
who stood on home plate to block Todd Frazier with his game-winning home run last night. MLB officials expected to question the veteran umpire for his apparent attempt to show up Todd Frazier last night as the Mets' third baseman completed his trot. Walk-off home run.
Why did they not question Todd Frazier with the squeegee ball that he came out of the stands with to make a mockery of the entire game a couple weeks ago?
Oh, I bet you they did. Maybe we just didn't hear about it. I bet you they called him.
Yeah, good point.
I bet you they did.
They should have.
Absolutely no question. This is a weaselly move.
Yeah, but it made the umps look bad, and that's why the umps are now trying to make Todd Frazier look bad, and that's why this guy was standing on home plate like he was a bouncer at a bad nightclub last
You know, Murray, the more when you initially said this, I said, no way, Murray. He's standing there because he's got to make sure he touches
the plate. Well, I didn't know it was Frazier. As soon as I heard it was Frazier, then okay, you got
to. But you know what? You're on to something,
Murray. Of course you are. Of course you are.
You were right, Jim. You're right.
You were right.
Scoops Murray.
I didn't know it was Frazier. I didn't even hear the play. I just saw some generic Met coming around the bases and the umpire standing on the plate so he could see the plate and touch it in the scrum and not miss home plate and thus lose the run. I thought the ump was actually doing him a favor. I did not know it was Frazier.
And maybe we'll get more of this weekend as the Mets are in town. So maybe the umps are going to try to squeeze him a little bit more.
Oh, right.
Love it. Keep doing it.
Oh, good. There's a reason to watch.
Keep doing it. All right, we continue with your calls. Andy in Plymouth with the Red Sox thought. Hi, Andy. Andy.
Hey, so assuming the Sox get out of the first round, and let's just assume that Cleveland beats Houston, are you worried at all about Cora facing Francona just because he came up under him?
Yes.
And just the effect they would have on him mentally?
Oh, no, not that. Not like Cora psychologically damaged because he used to play for Francona. No. I just think Francona and his evil henchman Millsy, like, know where bodies are buried and just have tricks up their sleeves and are good and just sort of, they scare me. When I see, and it's always Millsy right there at his elbow. Like, what is Millsy saying to him right now? And they just, there's just something about those two that I think they scare me. They do.
Well, you know they'll get the right matchups late in the game, right?
Definitely.
I mean, you know, and I'm not saying Cora won't. Like, in some cases, it's just a matter of their best guy against your best guy. And but I look at that and say, whose bullpen do you like in a close game later? There's
oh my
a
God.
Yours.
Not even close.
You're talking close. About a nightmare scenario.
And this isn't, you know, Francona gets the check mark there. And not because Cora's been great. He's been everything you could have wanted. He's just sort of unproven game management. I mean, really, how many games this year has Cora had to manage in-game to get him a win? I mean, a handful. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I just pull that number out of my backside. But they've won so many games by just scoring so many runs. And even when their bullpen blows it, meaning there's been a bad call in the bullpen, or obviously doesn't have the talent, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
they win anyway.
I don't know. So, like, Cora's just unproven in that spot, and Francona's not. So you got to give the check mark to Francona there. And then the whole history thing, and I just, he scares me. It would scare me if I'm a Red Sox fan. Put it to you like that. John in Vermont. What do you got, John?
So, Millsy was manager of Houston for maybe a season. He got fired, so
yeah, right.
No reason to be scared of that guy.
No. But as the evil number two, he's scary. As the lead guy, you're right. But as the man behind the scenes, watch out for Millsy.
Okay, I can appreciate that. So the show is never better when you guys complain about the the average Red Sox fan who wakes up from their nap at 1:30 and takes their pill and puts their teeth in and calls the show. To me, Dave O'Brien is the epitome of that audience. He uses two phrases which, to me, just drive me up a wall. The first is swung for the downs that one.
I don't like that one either.
Which is a reference to Suffolk Downs, which I'm pretty sure no longer exists. And he also refers to the light stanchions as light standards, which is a term that was used for streetlights before electricity. For a team that would sell T-shirts that, you know, when they win 100 games, like, I don't know why they have this old fogey as, you know.
And it's only 99 wins, by the way. I think Dave O'Brien's excellent. I think Dave O'Brien's excellent. The swinging for the downs, I don't love either. But we all have our little quirks. I'm sure there's things I say or Tony says that makes you want to gouge your eyeballs out with forks, you know, that you just can't stand it.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have any verbal crutches whatsoever.
If you're on the air and you're talking for any length of time and people are listening, there are things that you say that make people want to kill themselves.
Name me another occasion other than Fenway Park where you ever heard the word stanchion.
I don't think I could have.
No, it doesn't exist. That's why.
Detroit?
Wrigley?
The old Tiger Stadium?
No, those lights are light stanchions.
I know, but it doesn't feel like we ever say hit it off the light stanchion at old Tiger Stadium.
Giancarlo?
It's good one, Murray. Good one, Murray. But I'm telling you, like, I look at it the opposite. I think you should call it the light standard. Like, the stanchion? Like, that to me is a Fenway Park thing, totally.
We've got Bobby in Leicester on the fake wins. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, so first off, I agree with you completely about the bullpen. Every time I see Cora walk out there to pull a pitcher, my bow hole shrinks just about 2 inches. But anyways, on the fake win thing, let me have a comparison for you. So if the Pats are on the 6-yard line, right, and they run the ball off tackle to James White, and he fumbles the ball in the end zone, Hogan picks it up, and it's a touchdown. Now, do you call, and they were down 6 with like 10 seconds to go, do you call that a fake win?
Kind of, sort of.
I say no.
I mean, kind of, sort of. I mean, I know what you mean. I mean, but I mean, it's along those lines. Like, I don't give him credit for making a play.
So what would be the difference then if the shortstop misses a pop-up and the bases are loaded and the guy from third scores?
No, I'm saying that I think that fumble into the end zone recovered by the other guy, I don't give them a win on that play. I don't. That's just buzzard's luck. Bum luck, and it no credit, zero credit.
See, but the other team didn't make a mistake.
Fake play. You're right, fair enough. It's got to write, our fake win is a combination of the two.
See, now what I would call a fake win is, for example, a pass to the tight end who catches the ball at the goal line and then lunges to get into the end zone and puts the ball on the ground, and they call that incomplete, and then you end up winning the game. Like, that's a fake win.
I kind of think I have to agree on that one. Yeah, that I would consider a fake win.
So the Patriots last year actually went 12-3-1.
They should have been on the road for the AFC Championship game. Think of that.
Correct.
All right, final word coming up next, the return of the Fuppets. The Fuppets have found their way to Dorchester, a debut edition of the Fuppets here in Dorchester. We played it earlier in the program, but today we're debuting the Fuppets. Hardy has spun his magic here at our Town Fair Tire Studios, our new studios in Dorchester, and three classic Fellowship of the Miserable Red Sox callers. And the final word next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
No one.
All right. We have the Fuppets to start off with today.
Love
finally,
it.
The return of the Fuppets.
The little fellas found us.
Produced and put together by Hardy.
I think they've been wandering around in the wilderness, Maz. They didn't know where we were.
Maybe the weed was for them.
That's it. That's who the weed was meant for. The Fuppets. They finally found us here in Dorchester.
Bill O'Brien, this guy is so overrated.
B.O.B.
Boob. Isn't that Bob?
No, I'm adding an O.
But you didn't.
I know, I was taking some editorial license.
Right.
B.O.B. Boob.
It goes back to Bill O'Brien because you've got to know that the league are incompetent. You've got to know that.
Incompetent boob. Boob O'Brien. Lobotomy before he came into Foxborough. Bill O'Brien. B-O-B. Boob. What a knucklehead.
Again, the visual is, you can see it on NBC Sports Boston. If you haven't, we'll tweet it out, Facebook it out, whatever.
On the Felger and Mass Facebook page already.
On all of our stuff. So thanks again to Hardy for putting that together.
I mean, the Murray Fuppet is dead on.
Grand slam home run.
Well, now he's bought the sunglasses for it. And now I completely understand why Albert Breer of MMQB refers to me, I don't know if you've heard this yet, when he makes his appearances on Toucher and Rich, as the jazz musician on Felger and Mass.
Yeah.
So now it makes sense. Yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, let's get this compilation of salty Red Sox calls from the past few days. This is Roger and Quincy, Tom and Quincy, and Scott in Maine.
Roger and Quincy, hi.
Yeah, hey, look, you guys can talk all you want about Chris Sale and David Price and everything else. This, don't take the cheese on this team, because they're not going nowhere with this bullpen. And that's what people seem to be forgetting about lately. And specifically, Joe Kelly. Look, admittedly, I don't like Joe Kelly. I think he sucks, okay? But I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I saw this last night, and it's now the second or third time. He's in the bullpen, and he's drinking Dr. Pepper out there. This guy's a professional athlete. You wonder why he goes out every time and poops his pants on the mound. Maybe it's because he's drinking Dr. Pepper.
What's wrong with Dr. Pepper, Roger?
He's a professional athlete. You're drinking soda in the bullpen in the middle of a game like a 12-year-old boy at a birthday party?
I got it. Roger, great call.
That's one of the best calls ever.
Call us anytime, please.
Jimmy, clip that.
Mark that, yes, for sure.
Pepper.
I'm a pepper. You're a pepper.
No, but it's got. It
Wouldn't
is,
you like to be a pepper, too?
Do you want to be drinking soda party in the middle of the game? Scott in Maine wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Scott. Hi, Scott. You're on the air.
Michael.
Yes, Scott.
I'm sorry, I'm a little bit old. I think you just woke me up from a nap.
Okay, sorry, Scott. What do you got now?
Okay, so listen. I've seen a lot better Red Sox teams with a lot less wins go a lot further. And Tony, you're You teach me more than I know about baseball, and I'm older than you, okay?
Am I actually hearing his machine? Like the life support machine or something?
I'm not sure what that was.
I mean, I don't mean to be mean, but I thought I actually heard the machine. Scott.
The EKG order.
Scott, get to the point, please.
Yeah, my point is I'm not an EKG, but here's my point. A 100-win team does not mean success in any way, shape, or form. And until this team gets out of the first round, that will be my only proof.
Damn straight, Scott. At the end of the day, good call. Sorry for waking you up.
Clear.
What was it? It was either the heart monitor or the drip.
It's a baseball demo. It's just his. But it's okay. Tom and Quincy on the Sox. Hi, Tom.
Hey, did that caller two calls ago say that the bullpen has sucked for 20 games? They've sucked all year. So, Tony, like, you follow baseball. You follow the team. You wrote for the team. Do you ever remember a team this good, like World Series bound, everyone thinks that, with a deficiency as bad as the suck bag of relief pitches that they have? Like, it is, all those guys are the same exact person. They get up there, put guys on, suck. Hembry sucks, Kelly sucks, even Kimbrel sucks to a point. It's like, what do you do? And now they want Stephen Wright? For the love of God, like, you're going to put Stephen Wright in the eighth inning? Like, dude, are you trying to make me have a seizure? Because honest to God, I'm going to stroke out if I have to watch the playoffs and Stephen effing Wright is in to, like, hold a lead. I'm going to puke.
I think that dude's my favorite.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah. No, we ended strong.
Oh, that is just...
Yeah, no, he's our closer for sure.
That's what it all used to be like. Remember that? Oh, yeah. The fellowship of the miserable. I miss it.
That last guy was something. Oh boy, was he good.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.